This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Shaoning and Roshan Kanisan. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Friday the 10th of January, and we're heading into another weekend, guys. Are you looking forward to it? What exciting plans do you have?
I have Chinese New Year shopping to do, guys. I, of course, will be doing the Chinese New Year cooking. So it starts like this weekend, the craziness.
It's 2 weeks to Chinese New Year.
I know, but you don't want to leave it to the last minute. Do you know how crazy the shops get? How crowded it gets? It's insane. Especially for like all the food stuff. You're just giving me this blank look. It's okay, don't worry.
No, I appreciate the amount of time that you put into the logistics of all of this.
Yeah. Because otherwise in a normal week, we can't do it, right? Because we're in the studio, you know, on air. So we can't run to the market like normal people at 6 o'clock in the morning. We are here. So yeah, I need some planning. But I'm looking forward to it. I always enjoy Chinese New Year.
What kind of things do you make during Chinese New Year?
Well, you know, I'll still make all these cookies. I even make my own nian gao.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've started already.
Yeah, Shani, you sound very certain in your plan and what you want to do here. Very unlike our government that seems to be flip-flopping yes. on many things. I mean, yes, they've done some good things. The health ministry has stuck with the smoking ban. We've seen the MyRapid plan go through. Some things have been going according to plan. Child car seats. But things like the critical allowance, now that's been rolled back. Fuel subsidy plan, that's been shelved.
Delayed,
right?
Delayed.
Shelved for the time being anyway. So we're going to be talking about how this reflects on the government itself, because since Pakatan has come into power, it's been a hit and miss here and there.
Admittedly though, making like 20 boxes of cookies is much easier than running a government.
But you got a plan.
And I'll be talking about the things that was going to scare us in 2020. More tech. Yeah, I know. Tech scares me a little bit sometimes. All the things that
speak for yourself.
Yeah,
Shani.
All the things that steal our data and watch our every move. I'll be talking about that.
All right. If you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we've seen some high-profile resignations recently, but over in the UK, there's an even higher-profile one going on right now. So we're going to be talking about that after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was won by U2, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Shaoning and Roshan. Now, over in the UK, there has been a stepping back of certain high-profile members of the country, and unfortunately for us, it's not Boris Johnson.
I like that.
I mean, I don't know whether Boris Johnson resigning now would have what kind of an effect
worse.
That would have.
Yeah, it probably would be worse.
At least they have a bit of direction now. No more flip-flopping, Lindmark. No more flip-flopping.
I know, it would just be relief for us kind of to have one less kind of populist leader to be seeing in the news every morning. But over in the UK, what's been making the headlines there, as well as in other international papers, is that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, so the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, announced that they are intending to step back as senior members of the royal family. And this is quite interesting because since they announced this, it's come up that perhaps they did this without the consent of the Queen. So it started a little bit of a kerfuffle over in Buckingham Palace.
I don't know. Can you step back from being a royal family member? I have a little bit of sympathy for them because it's not a job you choose, right? It's not like, oh, I want to be the president of America and then I go through the whole arduous process of being elected into the White House. But and then once I'm in there, you know, it's like as if I don't want the job. Okay, then, yeah, you really, you know, it's a slap on the face. But in a way, when you're a royal family member, you kind of just like, it's just a genetic lucky draw, right? You're born into it. What can you do? I mean, sometimes I'm sure the role or the spotlight on you is constant, right? Mm-hmm. Every single move you make, every little mistake you made is also then magnified from the minute you were born till every day. You can't even, honestly, you probably can't even run to the supermarket dressed in your shorts and t-shirt without some paparazzi chasing after you, right? That kind of attention can't be something that you kind of enjoy? No way.
I mean, Meghan Markle wasn't born into it. She actually did. She chose it. She married into it. But, you know, that's not unlike the lives of celebrities as well, right? People chasing after you. The spotlight in the public eye is, it's not, it if unless you really embrace it, it can be very toxic. We've seen many child stars, go down very negative paths. But this is a very interesting one because this is a stepping away from the royal house as opposed and the duties associated with that. And an emphasis on the shared geographic, on sharing the geographies of America and the UK. I think maybe there was a line how they wanted their son to be brought up in both cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a... maybe it's just a balancing act for the two of them to strike it on their own and to be defined as Harry and Meghan as opposed to the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, the plus point for them as a couple is that, okay, you know, it seems like they're really trying hard to make this a partnership. Right. The downside, of course, is that I'm sure it is very difficult to live in this spotlight. So what Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, have done is that they've been very public about some of the struggles that they faced, being in the public eye all the time. Because, you know, after they were married and then they had their son shortly after, Meghan Markle spoke to, I think it was ITV, about how hard it was to be pregnant and a new mom, all with the tabloids hanging over your shoulder. And she was warned about this from her British friends before deciding to marry Harry, but she didn't grasp how pervasive the tabloid culture would be. But the other part of this is also that She's used to being able to speak her mind, right? And she's used to being able to champion causes. And that's not really something you can do when you are a member of a royal house, because there is some expectation for you to remain politically neutral, right?
Yeah, everyone try and figure out when the Queen last said anything.
Well, apparently
the Christmas speeches, but really that's about it.
And apparently she was hurt by this decision because apparently, like as you mentioned, Lynn, they didn't consult anyone apparently before making this announcement, which is also quite a brave, courageous move on their part.
I don't know. Upsetting your grandmother, is that wise?
not just any grandmother,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think upsetting your grandparents, I mean, your grandmother is the way to go. But what is a little bit is apparently immediately on the day they said, oh, we're retiring or whatever you want to call it, they set up a new website, guys. It's called www.sussexroyal.com. So much for leaving the royal household. They want to still remind everybody that they're royalty.
I mean, they have said that they're going to continue with whatever duties they need to kind of to pay respect to the Queen, I think it is.
And they still want to be called Your Royal Highness.
I think that's a matter. I think that's a balancing act, right? Because it's one thing to step back from your duties. It's one thing to completely eliminate it, and relinquishing those titles is not. It won't hurt them as much as it will hurt the UK royal house.
No, but if you step back and you say you don't want to participate in your royal duties, I don't have to call you Your Royal Highness.
But I don't think that's how it works, though. They've stepped back
from
but
duties.
He's not necessarily given up all of his titles and taken himself out of the line
so
of
So you pick and choose what you want. I like that. You pick and choose the part of royalty that you like. Very convenient.
Well, unfortunately,
there's some things you can't give up. Like.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this has now drawn some parallels between another high-profile American marriage into the UK royal house, because now there's some articles being written about Wallace Simpson now circulating in some of the UK portals.
And so, look how popular she was.
I know. So let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now we're heading into a few messages and then we'll be taking a look at some tech that will be coming into our lives in 2020. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was All I Think About Now by Pixies, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Xiaoning and Roshan. Now, as we head into 2020, technology is as ever changing, and the New York Times has an article that's looking forward to some of the technology that they expect will, and they've used the term, invade our lives in 2020.
I told you I'm scared.
I mean, it doesn't help that this article sounds like it's fear-mongering, but then, but it is interesting because, and I think there is some concern warranted here too whenever we talk about technology, because the amount of data that does go into, find its way into the hands of technology companies can be quite scary. But just looking at some of this technology that they've listed, smart homes is one thing that they expect will start to appear more often. Of course, ultra-fast wireless speeds, which I can't exactly complain about, the rise of 5G and even wearables. So the wearables market is expected to heat up as well in 2020.
Roshan, your favourite topic.
Yeah, hold on. Let me ask my Apple Watch.
Only ask Siri for an answer. Now press it. Siri, tell me what to say next.
No, it's okay. Siri's sleeping right now, unlike the rest of us. I mean, this is a balance, right? Technology is, they're all just tools. But there is no doubt that some of the best minds over the last generation have spent their careers making it a point so that we can't leave our devices, to make it more addictive, to make it a habit, whether it's Netflix and YouTube autoplay or making the icons on your phone pop out. I mean, just think about how many times you pick up your phone a day. I've made it a conscious effort to not pick up my phone. And even that, I pick it up maybe 30 times a day. And I'm not doing anything. I'm looking at the screen. It's a habit that they've built. And this is something that I think in the next decade, we're going to become more conscious about. And as I'm speaking, Lindmark has picked up a phone to just stare at it.
No, just because when you said pick up your phone, so I reach for it automatically.
And you're looking at the stats, right?
I'm looking at my screen time stats now, actually. So my daily average has come down somewhat. So my daily average is about 4 hours of screen time a day.
Now, what's scary, Lindmark, is that this doesn't include the time we spend on our PCs, right?
It absolutely does not.
Right?
But the PCs, so see, these are different things, right? The PCs generally are for work.
Are they?
I mean, I only use my computer for work, but speaking specifically about this article, it's talking about the next 10 years. And a lot of it is going to come down to the smart home, which I'm not a big fan of. I love tech, but I've stopped being an early adopter. And I'm more of, let's just see what happens. Because a generation of tech companies that embrace the slogan of move fast and break things has created a lot of problems, right? Yeah, privacy issues, to say the least.
Yeah, you don't want to be an early adopter if it means you will be beta testing their software for them, right? You don't know what kind of problems are going to
also,
crop
up. Do I need my fridge to be connected to the internet? I don't know. Do I need my microwave, my lights? I mean, I can. I'm sure people said this when the smartphone first came out also, right? Like, or do I need a big screen on my phone?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to interject with a bit of a digression here. As I looked at my daily average pickups of my phone, and it's at 104. So I pick
you
up my
you,
phone
you
104
tell?
Times.
There's such a function within the phone.
Yes, there is a function.
But I think what scares me the most is that, now when we use anything technology related, mm-hmm. we make that conscious decision, right? I mean, decision as to pick it up, use the notebook, switch this on, switch that off. But in the future, when you're looking at some of the smartphone, right, it's the computers or the technology or the devices actually just talking to each other automatically. The humans are no longer involved, you know what I mean?
Turn off the Wi-Fi.
No, but that's like
kill
so,
it.
I mean, what?
This is the start of Skynet, and I suggest we all kill him. Just stop, just end it now. But this is, you're exactly right, Shanti. Building those 5G chips or whatever chips into whatever devices so that they're perpetually connected. It's
to
a scary
each other,
thought.
The gadgets are communicating with each other, leaving us out of that equation. I'm like, is that a good thing?
All we need is for Arnold Schwarzenegger to pop up and just be like, and then we know that how the future ends. But
get to the chopper.
But
I mean, for me, it's always a perpetual trade-off, right? Because already we are giving so much of our data to these technology companies. But what do we get in return? We get convenience, and it's how much do you prioritize your convenience and your connectivity to the rest of the world? Bearing in mind also that, say, if you are in the working world, if everyone is connected and and everyone is using these ecosystems, you as someone who, you as an employee or you as a as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to keep up with these. Otherwise, your products will find it, it'll be more difficult for you to get them to market because you just have to, this is kind of peer pressure at its finest, really, in the business community.
Yeah, that's why when it comes to tech, most of the time, if the product is free, then that's not the product. You are the product, right? Mm. And this is why...
Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
Google's Android is free because they're collecting data on you to use for to sell ads, to sell some other product or some other service. The reason their products are cheaper is so that they subsidize it so that the bigger businesses can be done. And which is why you've seen Apple in the last few years very pushed very heavily this privacy aspect of their business because, yes, we charge you more for everything, but we're not selling your data. And as long as
that's what they said at the CES this year in Las Vegas, right?
And they've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
They're every year, and this has become a much bigger push for them. And I like it when a company does that because it means you've priced this in, baked this into your stock valuation. And if anything comes out to break that, then maybe your stock valuation doesn't keep up so
high. No, but it's also a selling angle of theirs, right? To differentiate themselves from the rest of the competition.
For sure, it is a selling, in today's world, that is a unique selling point.
But there's one thing on this New York Times article which I like, which is the rise of streaming. And that I look forward to in 2020.
Well, hopefully it's better than the rise of Skywalker. We'll see.
Well, let us know what you think. What kind of technological innovations are you looking forward to in 2020? You can WhatsApp us 01878988999 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're coming up to the 6:30 news now, but first here's Dream On by Aerosmith, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Something Good Can Work by Two Door Cinema Club, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Shaning and Roshan Kanisen. Now this morning, there has been some news that the Public Service Department has delayed a proposal to discontinue some paying incentives to civil service workers in order to allow further study of the matter. Now this is the latest in a long line of announcements and then postponements, announcements followed by indefinite delays. While we have seen the Pakatan Harapan government push through with some of its announcements since coming into power, so the Health Ministry smoking ban comes to mind, there have also been others that really can only be classified as policy flip-flopping. So the question is now, how does this reflect on the effectiveness of the government and the administration so far?
I mean, it doesn't look good, right? It doesn't look good when the government puts out a policy and say, we're going to do this, as opposed to, we're thinking about this, could the public weigh in and let us know what you think about it? This is, we're going to do this, fuel subsidy, cards for everybody, critical allowance, we're going to change it, we need to be fiscally responsible, and then you get a backlash to that. And suddenly you're like, oh, you know what, let's put that on hold for a bit. It doesn't look good, and it feeds again into this larger narrative around the... It feeds into this larger narrative that that the government doesn't talk to each other. Members of cabinet don't talk to each other, that there's a fragmentation there. And it just, I mean, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't give us much confidence, basically.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. It's like siaran tergendala, right? Like, suddenly, why things not... You know, I think it's a combination of things. So one, yes, it makes you wonder, how does the government work? Do the different government departments, agencies, ministries... because even... let's say we choose to talk about the fuel subsidy. It's definitely involving, yes, the minister, but there'll be many multiple government agencies, right, that are going to be involved. So the question is, the minister decides, does the minister then talk to the PM, to the cabinet? That's a question mark, right? Then after that, assuming a decision is made, is that then related to the people that are going to implement your decision, which means the government departments? And it could run across different government departments. That's the question mark after that. Then it seems like the case where, like you say, Roshan, they didn't seem to think about it, because the minute there's like a little bit of criticism, they kind of like, rewind, which they did have over this critical allowance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but to be fair, there are policies where the government has stuck through, right? So things like the car, child car seats, a lot of backlash there. But Anthony Loke and the government were like, no, this is something we're going to push through. We gave you time. We're giving you a grace period.
But then there's also
the smoking ban as well.
But it's not completely across the board, let's say, for the implementation of the car seats. Because I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is ride hailing is exempted, right? So if you take a My Car or a or Grab, you don't have to have a child seat. So it's like the policy is implemented, but not necessarily across the board. Or even, let's say, the recent smoking ban. There's a lot of hoo-ha over the smoking huts, which I don't agree. I mean, if you want to have a smoking ban, completely across the board. Why is suddenly smoking huts okay? So even when the policies are implemented, it seems like they give way in bits and pieces here and there when there's some opposition.
It's not just that they seem to give way in kind of at critical points, but a lot of the time, it feels as if there hasn't been much communication or much information provided to the people. Either that, or perhaps people just don't know where to go to find that information. Because the PSV license comes to mind, right? When the transport ministry gave e-hailing service providers months to do the PSV licenses, but at the end of the day, a lot of them still didn't know how to do it, or they were doing it too late, I feel like the government could have possibly maybe ramped up the information that they were giving out to kind of mitigate this problem, to get people to apply early so that they would have the PSV license by the deadline that was given. So, you know, where does the fault lie with this? Because at the end of the day, when a minister does announce something, you know, the minister sits at the top of a pyramid, right? And these announcements and these decisions have to filter down through the rest of the pyramid before it reaches the people. And where is the blockage that we're seeing?
Yeah. And I mean, okay, I'll give them a little bit of leeway because, I mean, in the early days when the government came into power, they had never, you know, this political party, Pakat, you know, the coalition, they never ruled the country. And I'm sure there was quite a lot of figuring out to do, right? And, you know, getting their feet wet. But okay, now we're in January 2020. So whatever policy you make or whatever decision you make, shouldn't it have been thought through a little bit? There are less excuses right now.
Sure, there are definitely less excuses. And I mean, in terms of experience, sure, they've never held federal government, but they've run the two biggest states in this country for a very long time, 10 years easily.
Yes.
Right, Selangor and Penang, among other states. So they've had some government experience. But those are, again, much smaller situations. The federal government is big, the ministries are big, and they overlap. That's another issue. So I think it's a matter of overpromising and underdelivering. Just hire a corporate strategist to come in there and teach you how to talk to the public.
Do we need more consultants?
Yeah, we do not need more consultants
One communication person for the cabinet overall to be like, okay, everyone, this is how we're going to communicate this. Because it doesn't help. Like, I like the fact that ministers disagree with each other because that is, they are all responsible for different portfolios. This is not no one needs to be a yes man to each other, right? But too much disgruntlement or disagreement is also not good front-facing because people lose confidence in your ability to lead.
Well, let us know what you think about this policy flip-flopping. Does it reflect well on the government? What else can they do? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you and then we'll be taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was She Loves You by The Beatles, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Roshan. Thanks very much for your messages this morning. We've had a couple of them. Taking a look at Twitter, I believe it was... we have a message from Chiang Chin Wang saying, 2020, I just want a laser pointer built into my mobile phone. So that was in reference to the technologies that you would like to see going into 2020.
I can see the appeal of that. I want a laser pointer in my phone.
To do what?
Point to things, of course.
You might blind somebody. That's why I don't think it's a good idea.
That's why I point at things, not at people. That's the first rule of laser pointers.
Oh, yeah, really? I would have. My immediate response was to use it to point at people.
Okay, no words, guys. Okay.
I am that kind of person.
I've got a haiku. I think I would call it a haiku from Ro this morning. He came out with a bit of a poem. Shall I read it all? It goes, the crown frowns, not Meghan's gown. Has Harry been led astray? Diane's son loyal, but not royal. Do we care? Trump's more entertaining anyway. Good one, Ro.
Very good. We applaud your creative tendencies, Ro. Thank you very much. Now, KY Ho also has weighed in on the policy flip-flopping that we were discussing. He says, it's a symptom of weak policy planning, design and execution. The problem lies with the ministers and the civil service. Yes, I think we've had some discussions with ministers as well when they've come on the Breakfast Grill. And one of the things that has stood out for me in speaking to them is just the bureaucracy that is involved in sometimes getting these, pushing through their plans can be very daunting and can tie their hands quite a bit, but not an excuse in the long term, I think.
Because, no, not after 20 months.
No, not certainly not after 20 months.
I don't know whether 20 months is enough to change or at least get people on your side. I'm not saying that there is a deep state or anything like that, but when you've been in charge for a very long time under one particular leadership, in one particular way, change is a very scary thing, and or you can be also simply very resistant to it, because maybe the government servants like, hey, I know how to do this better than you. I've been doing it for years, and then the government comes in and they want to change their own ways. So it's simple agency problem, right? There's a difference. There's a conflict between the top and the middle and the bottom. But again,
like there's a problem all around.
Yeah. I mean, it's communication, but I mean, that's not a new story when it comes to Pakatan Harapan. What is a new story, though, is the hot debate over MACC's move to release the tapes yesterday. Obviously, the hottest topic in town yesterday.
And even today.
And I'm sure it will be for a while, because now the question is, should they have done it? I think questions we were asking yesterday included things like, what does this mean for privacy for all of us in general? Because yes, the reason MACC decided to release it was because it was of the scale of the conspiracy or the alleged conspiracy. Mm-hmm. But now lawyers, including the Bar and Ram Karpal Singh, have come out to say that this was not a great move on MACC's part. You should have given it to the cops first, or where was the procedure involved? I think even the CIJ, which is the journalism...
Centre for Investigative Journalism.
Yes, thank you for saving me there. They have come out to say, where was the process here?
And this is something we'll probably be discussing, I mean, in a little bit more detail at the 7 to 8 hour, right? But in terms of other headlines, well, the H Financial Daily and the Malaysian Reserve have opted to have different front page news. So they moved on, maybe because they're business newspapers. The headline of the H is immediate 5G rollout necessary for national survival. This is by the MCMC chairman. And I think this is something interesting because we've just talked about it, what kind of technology we can expect in 2020. Mm-hmm. I think we will definitely have more conversations about 5G in this year. The usage of it, who'll be implementing it, the cost of it. Another headline in Malaysian Reserve is developers to give discounts, maintain prices after home ownership campaign, because that ended last year. But as we do know, and this is something that was said on the Breakfast Grill yesterday, the property sector remains one that is a bit in the doldrums because there just is way too much supply.
Absolutely. Now, the NST has gone with the first two, three pages or so, also on the audio recordings released by MACC. There is one article on page 4 saying the release of recordings may affect the Kimanis polls, which are expected on the 18th of January. They have, though, dedicated their front page to the fact that the sex video that we saw released a short while ago, that has apparently reports have come back and no positive identification could have been made. So that is on the front pages, the front page of the New Straits Times. That is all that we have for you, though, from the papers this morning, because we're heading into the 7 o'clock news now. But don't go away. We'll be bringing you the business end of the morning run after this with more fascinating discussions and topics. So be sure to stay tuned for that. But first, here is Honey I Need by The Pretty Things, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.